When he was elected as Atlanta's mayor in 1973, the late Maynard Jackson became the first African-American mayor of a major southern city. He was best known for strengthening the black middle class and creating scores of black millionaires.
Reorganization of our city government will be designed to open wide the doors of City Hall to all Atlantans and to make our city government more responsive to people needs and people problems.
During his three terms in office, Jackson created affirmative action programs, helped secure Atlanta as host city to the 1996 Olympics, and expanded what's now named Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. A new documentary about his legacy is showing this week in Atlanta. It's called Maynard, The Man, The Politician, The Game Changer. With us to talk about it is his son, Maynard Jackson III, and his wife, Wendy Jackson. Both are executive producers of the film. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
All right, so Maynard Jackson became the first black mayor of Atlanta, and that brought both praise as well as apprehension among many Atlantans, as he noted in this clip.
All of a sudden, I became the mayor not just of Atlanta, but of the black people in Georgia and even some neighboring states. Now, equally important and equally difficult was what we found in the white community. Exaggerated anxiety. That anxiety was, oh my God, what are we going to do? We got a black mayor. What does this mean? Is this the end of Atlanta?
What were the biggest struggles, would you say, Maynard was met with, your father?
Biggest struggles, I'd say, maybe people being so set back, you know, kind of startled by his forthrightness.
Yeah.
And just stepping up to the helm and stepping into leadership.
Yeah.
I think that brushed people. You know, Vernon Jordan says, to the elders, that was a bit brazen. You know, I love the way he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Wendy, as you were working through this documentary and that kind of thing?
I think one of his biggest challenges was of something that Jackson Ransom, his first wife, talks about in the film is that, he comes into office as mayor in 1973, and his challenge was to make everything black people thought he was going to, you know, make all the problems go away, much like President Barack Obama. And that was a challenge because that's a lot of pressure. But Maynard loved this city, and he wanted equality and economic opportunity for everyone, and that was a challenge because we were still considered the Confederate South, in many ways you still had relics of the old way of thinking, and there was a big changing of the guard. 73 was a pivotal year because you had not only the election of Maynard Jackson in the South, but you had Tom Bradley out in California, you had Carl Stokes. So it was a time where our entire nation was going through change. But for Maynard to become the game changer of the South, he was met by old practices and old ways of doing things, and he defied that. So as my husband always says, his dad used to tell him, leadership required making people happy and some people happy and some people unhappy. He had a whole lot of unhappy.
Unhappy, yeah, even among his own people of
right.
color. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Atlanta, Georgia has the widest income gap between rich and poor of all the major U.S. cities, according to the latest U.S. Census. The Brookings Institution reported Atlanta as one of the top cities to exhibit the highest rates of income inequality in 2016. People of color are most affected by that, as you know. Your father cared deeply for building a strong middle class in Atlanta. What do you think he'd say now?
He would be very interested in bridging that gap. He was very much a man of the people. You know, he ate with kings and had the common touch as well. You know we would go for drives on Sunday afternoon, and we couldn't get, past the city block without him pulling over and shaking people's hand. You know, Andy Patterson just joked with us that he'd hate walking down the street with Maynard because it'd take an hour to walk a block.
because he was a person of the people, I think that there's, Atlanta has grown from, in Maynard's last iteration as mayor, we've grown substantially.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were drawn to Atlanta for different reasons. The Olympics brought a lot of people here, and they made Atlanta their home. The tragedy of those that were affected by Hurricane Katrina, and they've stayed and made Atlanta their home. But one of the things that made Atlanta such a viable place for economic opportunity is that we had more HBCUs in Atlanta than any other place. We also have a high level of corporations here that have people of color at the helm. I think he would try to create programs. Everybody doesn't want to go to a college or a four-year institution, and that's fine, but there should be adequate training for those that don't. So to help people find their dream mm-hmm. and to live that, I think that he would be very much a part of the organic groundswell of the people of Atlanta to he would listen to them to find out what their needs are and find very strategic, brilliant ways of being able to bridge that gulf that has been growing ever since that time. So the population of Atlanta has expanded tremendously.
Yeah.
And some of those persons weren't necessarily prosperous when they got here. So in looking for the promise and looking for that hope, and I think as the city continued to grow, I think that he would be looking to create programs to help those people realize their dreams.
One of Maynard's biggest accomplishments was expanding the Atlanta International Airport, Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, and it's known as the world's busiest airport in large part due to him. And in your film, you use a clip from the Delta CEO at the time, Leo Mullen, speaking on behalf of Maynard and his great accomplishments at the airport. I want to listen to a piece of that.
During his mayoral terms, Maynard championed minority hiring, of which there was precious little at the time. Using the clout of government contracts, he helped develop minority involvement that had never before existed and might not exist today had he not been so forceful.
Why was it so important for him to include minority contracts in this process?
You know, Maynard was a person for, definitely he was all people, but where else in the country did minorities and women actually have a chance for economic opportunity? So being that, you know, Atlanta has had a high population of people that wanted change, they wanted to see results, they wanted to make their dreams come true, he understood he could see beyond the curve. That was a huge undertaking. And he shared with them, you can park your airplane someplace else if you're not going to be inclusive of people, of people of color and women. Figure it out someplace else. But if you're going to do it here, we're going to do it. We're going to operate inclusively. And he didn't compromise on that.
I'm talking with Maynard Jackson III, executive producer of the new film Maynard, the Man, the Politician, the Game Changer. And we're also joined by his wife, Wendy Jackson, the filmmaker of the documentary. During his second term in office, the Atlanta child murders were going on, and there were many private donations, and he was able to raise about $100,000 as a reward to anyone who had concrete evidence as to who was the killer.
The one thing I remember most about the missing and murdered children is Maynard Jackson sitting there with piles of cash, offering a reward for any information on who was committing these crimes.
During this time, you know, Maynard, you were a kid yourself. Right. And I'm wondering what your memories were. Do you remember your parents even being worried about you being abducted? And, you know, what were your memories of that?
There was always a police officer at the house. But that was normal, but it was always more than one. It was a big deal for me to go out on my bike all of a sudden and do what I was used to doing, you know, riding around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I remember being annoyed by that, but I knew what was going on, so I understood.
What did you all learn about Maynard during that time? Because I think it, you know, I've seen the documentary. I think it really affected him deeply.
Oh, he did. As a matter of fact, if you, just from a journalistic point of view, if you try to pull footage and articles and things of that nature, it's not that he went quiet, because he wasn't quiet, but you could even look in pictures. His demeanor and everything was affected. I think he was something that you couldn't control. He wasn't a law enforcement officer, but how do I outthink this? How can I get in front of this? How can I find a way to have more active people on the street so we can find the killer? And, you know, as a parent, so you're thinking always twofold. You're thinking about the people in the city of Atlanta, and you're also thinking, I have a son, too. I have kids, too. And he cared. And, you know, Atlanta, you have all of these stories about serial killers, but now this has come to your home, and it was happening for years before someone was caught. So it was a very a very sad chapter for our city.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the documentary, it's laced with all kinds of personal moments about his love life. He found love twice, mm-hmm. with your mother, and then with his second wife. It also talks about his relationship with food, his love of food. There were some just plenty of lighthearted moments in this documentary, and I'm wondering, you know, as you reflect on his legacy, is that something that you really want people to know about him?
Well, we wanted people to get to know him as a person, as a father, as a human who had faults, strengths and faults. So our director, Sam Pollard, wanted to be able to deliver a well-rounded film. And, you know, and when I look back from us, you know, from the time we started and just all these different shoots, you know, it's each one is a story arc into the other one. And for me, it was a therapeutic process.
How so?
Well, just dealing with processing, grieving, you know. I find personally it's an ongoing process. I don't think we ever get over it. Wendy can attest to that as well. But yeah, you know, especially the interview process when Sam interviewed me, but yeah, just making the whole documentary.
We had to interview him twice.
Okay.
We interviewed him twice. The first time, you know, it takes a while to
break the shell. Kind of crack that shell.
Our director was like, it wasn't about being honest. He just wanted him to just really deal with his feelings. He was able to do that. I think it's been a cathartic not as a daughter-in-law, but as a producer, I can see that it's been a very cathartic process for everyone. And there's a lot of people that loved Maynard very much, and you know, others wanting to do subsequent documentaries about his life. But let me share this with you, and as a storyteller myself, the one thing I'm able to observe is this. Maynard made his biggest gift was making you feel like you were the absolute most important person. I mean, he shared that the connection was undeniable. But, you know, if you think about, he gave more than he got. I have run across, you know, people that have felt very entitled, almost like he was a product in the making of this, you know, I deserve to be in it. I'm thinking to myself, the one thing that we didn't put out there, and we're going to do a subsequent documentary about, is Maynard in his own words, because you get to understand who he was and what his thoughts were. So you might be the person that he gave instruction to or he spoke with, but with his heart, who were those persons that he trusted with his heart? And that group is a very, very small niche group that made it on camera.
That's who we saw on camera.
You saw those persons on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we got the best of Maynard in this documentary. It is it's not about all the Wikipedia things that he did, because if we wanted to and the funds were there, we could unlock the film and have 10 minutes of credits of all of his accomplishments and things that he's done. Mm-hmm. But we wanted you to know that here's a kid that lost his father at 15. His mama had 6 kids. His grandparents, like many of us, grandparents intervene and to help, and aunts intervene and help raise you and mold you. We wanted to make him someone that was relatable, therefore can be inspirational to those that see the documentary, young people saying, you know, he did it, I can do it too.
One of the reasons that I wanted to do this film, you know, so people can learn stuff like that, but more to the point, so they could get to know the man.
That was Maynard Jackson III and Wendy Jackson, both executive producers of the new film Maynard, the Man, the Politician, the Game Changer. You can see it on May 4th at 4:45 p.m. at the Plaza Theater in Atlanta. Details are at gpbnews.org. And before we go, here is a little more from Maynard Jackson, the night he became Atlanta's mayor.
Regardless of where we live in Atlanta, whether it be Buckhead or Beaverslide, Peachtree Hills or Perry Homes, Cabbage Town or Collier Heights, Carver Homes or Cascade Heights, regardless of what one does for a living, regardless of the insularity one's money may afford, everybody is crime's victim. And we all must make certain that this dread disease does not cause our great city's demise.
That's the voice of the late Maynard Jackson, the former mayor of Atlanta.